Well, welcome back. Thank you. Welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. I'm so pleased to be able to have a Society of Broken Souls back in this part of the show. And I want to learn a little bit more about where y'all come from.
Well, I'm from Texas. I was born in Texas. Lauren was born in East Harlem. We met in Seattle, like you do. And then
over coffee.
No, at an open mic, as a matter of fact. We were playing independently, pursuing music. And Lauren was doing fiddle tunes, and I was a budding songwriter on the in the area. And
now, what year was this? What year was
this? Oh, goodness.
Or how old were you, do you think?
2002.
Right before Christmas of 2002. It was a week before Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. She walked in the door at Murphy's, and I saw Murphy's Pub where we met. And I saw her come in and was captivated, and then saw she had a fiddle over her shoulders, and I went, oh, this is interesting. And then she opened the night up, and she played some incredible fiddle, and it was intimidating. And I said, if I nail my set, I'm going to go speak to her. Murphy's is a tough crowd. So I didn't feel like I nailed my set. But I happened to do a Robert Earl Keane song, and he's one of my favorites. And he's not nearly as well known in Seattle as he is in Texas. And so after I got off the stage, Lauren said to me, I enjoyed your set. I particularly enjoyed the Robert Earl Keane song, and I replied, you know who he is? And then from there, it kind of just took its course.
Yeah. So what was your experience of that evening?
I had actually seen him the night before at an open mic, and I thought he was rather handsome, but he looked like the truth of the matter is I thought he had bad news written all over him. And I was, you know, I was in my mid to late 30s, and I'm thinking, you got to stop going after those bad boys. They just break your heart. But he didn't. He's not a bad boy. He didn't break my heart. So, and he was singing a song that we were actually going to bring back. It was a song that was on his very first solo EP that he did. And we haven't played it. Did I ever play on it?
No.
But anyway, the words of that song are not actually very far from what we do, what we try to do as Society of Broken Souls with our lyrics. So he spoke to me right from that moment, and that was really the first thing I noticed, not that he was handsome. I noticed the lyrics, and then I was like, oh, he's cute too. But we didn't take very long before we went from I like your music to will you be my best friend?
Wow.
That's really hokey, I know, but it's kind of true.
No, it's not. I love the whole shape of that story. It was absolutely divine. And you've got a song for us.
I do. When we first started playing music, I didn't sing or play the guitar or anything, and I was really intimidated to do any of this. But he was so encouraging, and it saved my life a couple of times. And that's sort of what this song was about. I had been ill. And I was having a really hard time bouncing back, and I was getting pretty depressed, actually. And I had no energy for anything. And so I said, well, I'm going to pick up my guitar and see what happens. And I started finger picking, which I hadn't done up till then. I only knew how to use a pick. And this is the song that came out. And it really was for me, but it seems to be a song that speaks to a lot of people. So it's called Shape I'm In.
This boundless blue sky, where I can't find my heart. Please don't. I can't catch my breath. In this stiflingly clear mountain air that won't let me rest. And the sun, it burns my skin, and it won't let me hide the shape I'm in. Bleaches the bones of the skeletons roam with me everywhere that I've been. Please don't leave me sitting too near the flame, 'cause I need the snow and ice that I carry. My veins helps me numb all the shame. And the sun, it burns my skin, and it won't let me hide the shape I'm in. And it bleaches the bones of the skeletons roam with me everywhere that I've been.
That is just remarkable songwriting. You know, the thing that occurs to me is that it's almost as if this song like that is coming right out of the soles of your feet, all the way up through your entire body.
Thank you.
Just amazingly rooted songwriting. Beautiful, beautiful.
You know, it's... I wrote my first song when I was about 15 years old, and I was telling somebody this story last night, and I was a very, I come from a high-achieving family, and I was in a very high-achieving school district kind of thing, and I submitted the song into a citywide arts festival, or arts competition, which is the worst thing for art, is competition, and it didn't win, and there was no feedback, and I just thought, oh, I just can't do this. I'm no good. It wasn't even a conscious thought. It was just, I guess I'm not a songwriter. And I didn't write another song for 30 or 20 years. So it really struck me how damaging putting children in competition for art can be. I don't feel like, it's not a tragedy. But I wonder what would have happened if I had been writing songs those 20 years that I decided I couldn't do it.
Right, right. I think part of what happens here at Wild Rose Moon is about that, is about trying to move art out of the competitive and into the cooperative and into the idea that, you know, art, it's, you know, you got to create it to go on creating it.
Right.
And if you squash it from the moment it comes out, it's not going to keep coming out, because art, as we know, you start doing it, and then after you like render it and sing it in public, all of a sudden, here comes another song.
Right.
Well, you know, it comes because you did the work. You know, you got it out. You put it out into the world. And it's a process. But it takes a long time to absorb that process, that creative process of it coming up through the body, going out, and it's almost like a shedding of skin, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's you have to write some really bad stuff to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
Anybody who writes knows that. And so, you know, I found the lyrics a couple of years ago, and I was like, well, these are actually pretty good lyrics. But still, like, nobody said, just keep going. Keep doing it. And it wasn't intentional. It was just that it got lost. And so me and my high-achieving mindset went, oh, I guess it's no good. I guess I'm no good.
Yeah. And yet, I would say that somehow that, you know, maybe that repression, right, kind of built up in you, and so that when that started, the lid lifted off, you know, you got really great stuff, because it was like in there kind of ruminating.
Brewing.
Yes, brewing. Couldn't wait to get out, so you let it out.
Dormant like a bear.
Yeah.
You came out hungry.
Yeah. So, now you were telling me that you're from Texas.
Yeah.
But you're also now living in Fairfield.
Yes, Fairfield, Iowa.
Fairfield, Iowa. And I believe, you know, my wife and I both were talking about this the other day, because she grew up so close to there, and there's some sort of meditative spot there. Right?
It is. It is the Marishi University of Management is located in Fairfield, Iowa. It's kind of ground central for the Transcendental Meditation movement in the United States. It's an interesting cross-section of things that you would associate with a practice such as TM, where you have a lot of entrepreneurial spirit and a lot of creativity, and then it collides with good old-fashioned Midwest pragmatism. And what happens is you get kind of the best of some different worlds put together, and it's a very unique place. It's almost impossible to explain to people. It's a town of 9,500, and when we moved there, there was an organic French restaurant in town. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is exciting.
And we were everybody made the assumption we had moved there for the TM movement, because that's where most transplants come. But we were just intrigued by the fact that it had such a vibrant arts community, an incredible arts community. So we used to, when people said, did you come for the movement? We would say, no, we came for the Iowa. Because we loved Iowa.
That's great. I hope we have more time to talk about this, because I'm very intrigued about this subject, and I would like to hear another song. So if you've got one, would you share it with us?
We've got one, and this next one we're going to do is called Creaking Boards. And if any of the listeners have ever read 13 Moons by Charles Frazier, don't hold it against me, but that's where I kind of got the idea for this song.
Reaching way back just as far as you can, looking across the plains with cloudy eyes and shaking hands. Wind is picking up and it's bringing on a chill, while the memories in his head break the dam and start to spill. Dust out on the gravel road still lingers in the air. From the livestock trailers rattling by, they don't see him there. Sundown foreign visitor from some other time, looking for to trespass or commit some kind of crime. He wanders through the halls just outside the empty rooms, with their windows shuttered tight against a cold November moon. Shadows in the corners, small they left behind,
They bleed into the cracks of life that leave him nearly blind. Stealing back to yesterday when no one sees him leave. Slips the latch undone and closes the door so quietly. Cuts through fallow fields until he comes upon the track. Leaving it all behind him, he ain't ever coming back. And the ghost in the backyard that you speak to late at night, they're the only ones who even bother to tell you you're right. Being right don't mean a thing when you're left alone. To listen to the creaking boats of what was once your home. A boxcar from a rusty frame cradles his aching bones. Iron, wood, and steel taking him further on down the road. But the road ain't always kind when you're looking to outrun the bullets and the blast that you fired from your own gun. Cause the black powder stains and smells and gets inside your head. Mixes blood with all the dreams that you left for dead. With every passing mile you begin to long for sleep. But there ain't no place to lay your head except the planks beneath your feet. And the ghost stands to talk to you in the night outside the train. They're the only ones who are telling you to stay in and out of the rain. Cause rain can wash away every sin you've ever known. Except for these old creaking boats that are taking you from your home. River's edge, filling his old canteen. The icy water rushing by is the only thing he sees. Stands, takes a drink, and hears the sound of his own breath coming from somehow the place that's deep inside his chest. He turns to look and see if there's anyone standing there. Just a naked tree swaying in the autumn air. Pulls his jacket tight and he steps off towards the sun, thinking to himself that it's already come undone. And the ghosts that you talk to when you sleep all through the day, they're the only ones who can understand all the crazy things you say. And them trees bending in there when he yows and yows alone. Just some more old creaking boats for you to build yourself a new home.
Those aboards were a creaking. That's great. That feels like it was born. That song was born on the prairie.
Kind of was.
Yeah. How long have you been writing songs?
Oh goodness. Let's see. Probably we are at 32 years now. 32, 30, something around like that. Yeah.
What got you going?
Well, I wanted to be in a band, and there were three of us that played drums, and you know how that goes. And the only guy that could play guitar, he wanted to be the songwriter, and the first lines of the first song that he offered up were, "I want to be a lesbian terrorist. Let's all drink a Diet Cherry Coke," and I went. I said, you know, Joe, I've got some different ideas here. I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is a story well worth telling.
Have I heard that story?
I don't know.
Sid was thinking of a story, weren't you, Sid?
Well, it just so happened that I was on a train to New Orleans last
last spring. I was going to the New Orleans Jazz Festival to meet my brother, and I was on the train, and I met a fellow from Fairfield, Iowa, who had actually moved from New Orleans to Fairfield to, let's just say, calm down. And
it's a good place to do that.
Yeah. And from time to time, two or three times a year, he returns to New Orleans to get excited, and then after a few days, returns to Fairfield to once again calm down. So.
Nice. It really breeds the pioneer spirit out there, doesn't it?
In a lot of ways, it really does, you know.
Yeah.
It's no small thing, but the cost of living is really low, which allows people to pursue dreams that they might not if they were living in, Seattle.
Exactly.
So that was a big pull for us, was being able to afford some kind of decent life and still be able to pursue what we love doing instead of scrambling all the time to pay the rent.
Yes, well, that's partly the reason I live in Plymouth, actually. So, yes, it makes it much easier. We have so much enjoyed your being here today. Thank you for joining us on the radio show.
Thank you for having
us.
It was
a pleasure. Thank you so much for
having us. I want to thank John Baylor, my musical director. I want to thank Lauren Schapter and Dennis James for being on our show tonight. Sid Schroyer announcing. Dan Schubert with tech work. And J.R. Berger and Davis Boer helping with the tech. And, of course, the incredible Nate Butler and Howard Gibbs. And our applause lady, Judy Schroyer. So when you think you've lost at life, oh, pain and heartache fill your soul with strife. Just remember, when you're tumbling down, well, it won't be long till the river goes round.
With support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, the Bruce G. and Mary A. Robert Family Foundation, Nancy and Dan Schmelter, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you've been listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. Good night, everybody.
River goes round, round the bend. The river goes round, round, round till the very end. And when it stops, it starts again. It won't be long till the river goes round.
This has been a Wild Rose Moon radio production.